Hello, and welcome back to the Type Theory Commute. I'm Aaron Stump, and we are talking about simple types. Oh, how very simple they are. There's just base types, and just some atomic types, just something like bool or car or something like that in programming terms, and then function types. So you could just say, like you could form a type like bool, arrow, bool. That's a perfectly good simple type. And so we're talking about simple types, and today I want to talk a little bit about a few examples, like basic examples of simply typed terms. And I also want to mention a little bit about the Curry-Howard isomorphism for simple type theory. I'm pretty sure I already talked about Curry-Howard sort of stuff some episode long ago, but I want to just kind of bring it up briefly here because there's sort of a point I want to make about simple typing, that kind of we need to be reminded about Curry-Howard a little bit for it. So some basic examples, or let's just review a little bit the simple typing rules. So for simply typed lambda calculus, pure simply typed lambda calculus, all we have terms, those are like the programs, and they're just untyped lambda calculus terms. So there's variables x, lambda abstractions, where you say lambda x dot t, t is called the body then. It's an anonymous function that takes an input x and returns whatever t computes. And then you have applications, t applied to t prime. It means like call t as a function with argument t prime. Those are the terms. Those are the only programs we have in untyped lambda calculus. The language is Turing complete, so any program you could reasonably write, pretty much any other language, you can write. It might be an unreasonable implementation, but it's feasible. It can be done. You can compute any function you can compute in Java or Python or whatever language you like, JavaScript, can in principle be computed in untyped lambda calculus. And untyped lambda calculus is, has all this power. And type theory, programming languages, types are there to prevent runtime errors. In type theory, types prevent runtime errors, but also do a lot more. And one of the things, I think, to be strictly called a type theory, one of the things that types need to do is enforce termination of all your programs. And that is true in simply typed lambda calculus, and we can touch on that. We can talk about that in a later episode, how the simple types enforce that all your programs terminate. So given these simple types, just base types and function types, and given these terms, just lambda calculus terms, then the typing relation states, there's a typing relation that states when a term has a type. And you do this, you speak about when a term has a type with respect to a typing context, which is a set of assumptions, or a list of assumptions, or some other data structure of assumptions about the types of the free variables in your term. You say, well, I didn't really care about having free variables in my term, my program, all the variables will be declared. Yes, this is good. But as you go down and try to speak about the type of a lambda abstraction, like lambda x something, you're going to want to speak about the type of the body, and then that all of a sudden a free variable sort of appeared there. And so you use this typing context to add assumptions about the types of free variables. And just to review the typing rules, we have a rule that says if you're assuming x has type t, then you can prove x has type t. Well, that makes good sense. To type a lambda abstraction, like lambda xt, this is given a function type. Let's say, I should go for like A, Bs, and Cs for the names of my types, because it's kind of hard to always say like little t for a term and big T for a type, which is what I usually like to do in writing this stuff, because it helps you kind of remember there's sort of an association there. But let's just say A, Bs, and Cs for types. So to show that lambda x dot t has a type A arrow B, you assume x has type A and then show that the body T has type B. So you're kind of adding an assumption to your context. And finally, for the function type, for applications, if you have T applied to T prime and you want to show that that has a type, you show that the function part T has a type A arrow B, and the argument part T prime should have type A. So in other words, the type of the argument needs to be the same as the input type of the function, so they match, the types have to match up. And then the whole application has type B, which is what you're typing for the function part, said was the return type. So those are the three typing rules for simple types. And again, really simple. Like a lot of type systems out there, whoa, much more complicated. But this is, you know, simply type lambda calculus is pretty much included in just about any type theory out there has got simply type lambda calculus as a fragment. I don't think I can think of any type theory that doesn't have simple types as part of it, and then extends the language with more types and more forms of term or whatever. Okay, so how about some basic examples? Well, you can have examples like lambda xx. Lambda xx is the identity function. It takes an input x and immediately just returns it to you. And that can be given type A arrow A for any type A that you want. So let's say you have a base type B. Now this is, again, talking through it sort of thing. Like I'm usually thinking my base types is like a lowercase b, and my type variables, I'm usually writing as uppercase. My meta variables for types are right as uppercase letters. So anyway, let's just say bool arrow bool. That would be really concrete. So yes, lambda xx has type A arrow A for any type A you want, including things like bool. So lambda xx has type bool arrow bool. It has type car arrow car. It has higher types, like you could give it type bool arrow bool arrow bool arrow bool. Because truly, if you take the identity function and call it on a bool arrow bool function as input, why, it's just going to return that bool arrow bool function back to you as output. So again, you can give this identity function any arrow type where the input part and the output parts are the same. So that's one really, really basic example. There's other examples though. How about if you want to say lambda x, lambda y, x. So taking two values and return the first one. This is a projection function. Could be viewed as a projection function. It's also Church-encoded Boolean true. Taking two choices, return the first choice. And false would be taking two choices, return the second choice. So lambda x, lambda y, x, that could be given type A arrow B arrow A for any types A and B you want. And similarly, the type the term lambda x, lambda y, y could be given type A arrow B arrow B for any types that you want. And kind of looking at the intersection of those two types, so to speak, what's an A and a B where they both true and false have the type, their types. Well, if you just said something like A arrow A arrow A, that covers both cases. Because true, Church-encoded true lets you say A arrow B arrow A. So you have the possibility that the input types had different types and you selected and you returned the first something of the first type. And in false, you again have the possibility the input types are different, but you return something of the second. Now, if the input types were the same, then these would all match up. So true and false can both be given. They can be given, for example, a type car, arrow, car, arrow, car. Given two characters, true would return the first one, false would return the second one, and it works out from a typing perspective. Those are a couple basic examples. There's more examples. Let me just touch on natural numbers and arithmetic. I want to devote a whole episode to talking about that in more detail. But as you know, or hopefully know, or if you never knew, or if you forgot, I could tell you briefly that you can encode the numbers, code natural numbers on type lambda calculus. This was something Church invented himself long ago. So to encode a number 2, you encode this as a function that can iterate something twice. So you encode this as lambda f, lambda a, f of a. So taking a function f, taking a starting point a, and call f twice in nested fashion on that a. Lambda f, lambda a, f of a. And these Church-encoded numbers like that one can also be typed in simply typed lambda calculus. So what types, what type can you give it? Well, you can give it type, let's say, yeah, I'll just say, I use little, see, this is a problem. I use little a, I was in my mind, I was using little a as my input for this, second input for that search encoded too. So maybe I should say lambda f, lambda x, f of x. And then you can give this type a arrow a, arrow a, arrow a. So if you've got this thing that takes in f and let's say x and gives you f of x, then f is, needs to be a function that takes in something and gives you back that same something. Ooh, I'm having flashbacks. Maybe I talked about this last episode. If I did, maybe like you, you, I hope you're like me and kind of forgot about that. so anyhow, it can be given type a or a, arrow a, arrow a. And okay, so those are a review of some basic examples. Now, next episode, I want to give you some more, a little more interesting examples to do, basically to do with arithmetic, because most people probably don't really think about arithmetic for simply typed lambda calculus, but interestingly, you can encode arithmetic operations in simply typed lambda calculus, and thinking about this is actually extremely illuminating for what simply typed lambda calculus does and what its sort of power and limitations are. So I want to come back to that next episode. I want to wrap up this episode on my short drive here on a Saturday morning in Baltimore, a dwindling number where we've spent in this fair city of Baltimore. It's been really great. Baltimore, please take my high recommendation for how nice a place it is and how livable. So anyhow, I want to briefly remind you about the Curry-Howard isomorphism. And this is the observation that these arrow types, which we're thinking of as the types for functions, can also be viewed as implications. And so when you have and when you have a type, like we were just talking about, for example, A arrow B arrow A, you know, that's a type for a projection function or a type for Church encoded true, but it's also a valid formula. A implies B implies A. In other words, given proofs of A and proofs of B, you can prove A. Yes, this is true. And the reason I wanted to bring this up, and I'm not going to go into too much more detail here, but basically this, you know, the Curry-Howard isomorphism, as you, I hope, know or remember or can look up, connects logic and programming. In particular, it usually, the basic form of it connects constructive logic with pure terminating functional programming. And so, so the formulas, like implications, are types, like arrow types. And the proofs, like how you would prove an implicational formula, where all we have is implication. We don't have falsehood, so this is called minimal propositional logic. It's you know, it's definitely not classical logic. It's even weaker than constructive logic. I mean, intuitionistic logic, because it doesn't have falsehood. Anyhow, you know, a proof of something, like how do I prove A implies B implies A? Well, you prove it with something that essentially is isomorphic to this lambda term, lambda x, lambda y, x. And the reason I wanted to bring this up now about the Curry-Howard isomorphism is that it's, I want to emphasize later that it's the modal character of implication that's really gives us a lot of power as we go to extend simply typed lambda calculus with other type forms. And we this modal character, you know, when in modal logic, we, one semantics, this famous Kripke semantics due to the great Saul Kripke, philosopher and logician, was says that, you know, we're thinking about a possible world. So we have some formula is true in some world, and the truth of the formula in that world can depend on truth in future and other possible worlds. Future worlds, you can think of them as like, here's my current state now. In the future, what will things look like? And in fact, this viewpoint is useful in things like systems modeling and verification, where you want to prove, you want to describe properties of evolving systems. So the system states change over time, and you can express properties of your system using modal logic formulas. But anyway, just implication itself is a modal formula, because the semantics says for an implication to be true now, like A implies B to be true now, what you say is that in any future world where A is true, B also is true. So there's this quantification over future worlds. And that is what really turns out to give a lot of power to simple typing, not so much in its by itself, but when you add other type constructs. And I'll come back to this point in a later episode. Anyway, I thank you very much for listening. And I'm glad to be back talking to you again. It's been a while since I was doing this. I was like about 6 months where I didn't manage to do anything. But now I'm kind of got fired up about talking about simple types. So here we are again. I hope you're well wherever you are. Feel free to drop me a line sometime if you just want to say hi. Any questions you have, anything like that. All right, take care.